On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care. What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
Sean Laval, ACL tear, needs surgery. He'll be out for the year. Sheriff Torres Peck, he'll be needing surgery. He'll be out for the year. Paul Richardson, shoulder AC joint. He's going to have surgery. He'll be out for the year.
What up, everybody? JB Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. This isn't quite an emergency pod, but it sure as hell isn't a normal day after pod either. We're going to give you the normal day after pod stuff. We got a one-on-one with Jay Gruden, interviews from last night with Mo Harris and with Capri Bibbs. But the story, the big story, is all the injuries mounting at Redskins Park. Before we dig in, as always, we're brought to you by the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. All right, I'm here with Mitch. Jay Gruden just revealed Brandon Scherff is out for the year. That was expected. Sean Laval is out for the year. That was expected. Paul Richardson is also out for the year. I've kind of known that that's a possibility that was growing, but they finally decided just to shut him down. Richardson had been gutting through some pretty tough injuries, but at a certain point he wasn't effective enough where it's worth him gutting through it and the team not being able to rely on him out there. But Mitch, holy shit, dude, this is, Jay Gruden said multiple times that they're going to have to sign two or three offensive linemen, and at least one of these dudes they're going to sign off the street will be starting Sunday in Tampa.
That's beyond not ideal. I mean, it's good that Ty and Secchi and
it's
Morgan.
It's bad. It's not beyond not ideal. Yeah, it's bad.
It's actually terrible.
Yeah, it's like we were just joking with Kime in there. Somebody on Twitter said, oh no, the O-line's gone from good to mediocre overnight. Folks, ain't mediocre. Yeah. This is a nuclear option.
It's patchwork is what
it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's beyond patchwork.
And I want to be clear that I'm not suggesting that this team will lose the rest of their games or something, but this is a major, major situation.
We talked about last week with Ha Clinton Dix how it takes time to learn a scheme. You're going to now thrust an offensive lineman in there, plus have guys who haven't played in those positions much this year, have to learn new positions, new scheme, the whole nine, in front of an offense that hasn't been particularly effective.
Right, the offense
season
wasn't very good anyway. You're not getting enough at a number of positions, and now, all right, look, the best player on this offense is Trent Williams. He's not playing probably through Thanksgiving. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Maybe he plays in Dallas. Maybe.
Maybe.
So you don't have Trent Williams. The second best player on offense is Brandon Scherff. You're not going to have him the rest of the year. Morgan Moses was hurt. I think he's going to play. But you're talking about, I mean, my guess, and this is going to be sort of like my 54-man roster, you're talking about Nsekhe, Bergstrom, Rouye, insert veteran right guard here, Jerron Christian.
Well, Morgan Moses.
I'm sorry.
Morgan Moses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With Jerron Christian being your backup swing tackle. It leads me to, why the hell is Casey Dunn on the squad if you can't expect it, if you can't plug him in this dire of a situation?
Right, and it's crazy that Gruden basically just ruled that out.
Yeah, he was like, we'll see what the competition's going to be, but
here's the other thing. Gruden was pretty clear that Chris Thompson's nowhere close, and we've been telling you guys that,
right,
if you're listening. Thompson's nowhere
Crowder
close. It doesn't sound like Crowder's coming back. I mean, the offense...
That's five game one starters that are going to be on.
Dude, I think it might be more. Well, I guess it depends on how you consider Thompson.
Right, right. But it's a lot of important pieces going away, and the Paul Richardson thing was we knew that he was battling the shoulder injury. It still was a shock when he announced it.
Shock when he announced. I had heard during the bye week they were considering the surgery then. And that was what a source told me. I think the Richardson thing could have happened any of the last few weeks. But it also, maybe he just keeps pushing through it. And clearly it got to a tipping point.
He was your one real speed option on that offense.
But he hadn't been hitting that high-end speed in a few weeks. And without that...
And Alex wasn't hitting that ball anyway. But quickness, speed, I mean, he was your best option for that sort of receiver.
We've seen the little bit of success this team had is running the football and playing defense. Jager, I mean, you'll hear it in the interview. It's all on the defense now. Because as good as Adrian Peterson has been, he's now running behind...
A patchwork offensive line.
Yeah, a patchwork offensive line. I don't know what the hell is going to happen.
Yeah, this is. I mean, I guess it's good that you have a Tampa defense that gives up a lot of points this week as your first matchup. But the sledding doesn't get easier after that.
Well, and Tampa can score,
right?
Which the Skins haven't.
I'm just talking strictly from an offensive side of the ball,
from an offensive line perspective.
Yeah, I mean,
but they got some horses, dude. Like,
oh, absolutely.
You know what, man. You'll hear it when I talk to Jay. It's crazy they're dealing with this amount of injuries on the offensive line 2 years in a row. And it shows that there is just an abject need to develop depth at the interior of the O-line. Because having Nsekhe and then Christian gives you something at tackle. But in the inside, this is something we were surprised when they didn't address guard to begin with, and they were just going to go with Ari Kwanjo, who hurt his quad back in May. And then when Ari went down, they signed Laval, and we're like, wow, this is the plan, going with this again. And the guys behind him, Catalina's on IR, Kalis is on the Browns practice squad. This dude, Casey Dunn, clearly they're not comfortable playing. It's, to be in this situation, and let me be clear, if you lose both your guards, your starting guards, you're going to be in big trouble.
If you lose your two best players on offense, most teams are going to be in some sort of trouble.
Sure.
I mean, the Redskins have been trying to build depth across this roster for the past three seasons, and in spots they have done a good job of that. The interior of the O-line has not been one of those spots.
No.
And it's been now exposed pretty harshly 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
And the fact that it wasn't addressed in the offseason is questionable, but damn, I mean, it's a, you know...
This is a train wreck, dude.
You don't want to feel the sky is falling, but this is a real tough situation to claw yourself out of.
And they're still 5-3. They're still in first place.
Right.
But, woo.
They still have a lot of games, winnable games in the division left.
They're halfway through the season.
Yeah.
And
which is, if you're going to look at a bright side, they have time to develop. They have time to get better. They don't have to win right now to make the playoffs. So... if you're going to look at it with a glass half full, they have a few weeks to develop before you go to Dallas on Thanksgiving, which is going to be an important game in the division. And then you have the Eagles twice, and you still have the Giants one more time. You have winnable division games left, and you have time to get these guys, get everybody on the offense up to speed. If you're that, to me, that's the best way to look at it as a positive going forward.
Yeah, I mean, not even a positive, but just the way the division is. The Eagles so far have been really offensively challenged. Dallas has been offensively challenged. The Giants are an actual train wreck. The Skins are just dealing with
an injury train
crazy
wreck.
Injuries. It's not over, right? Like, let's be clear. That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm trying to say.
it's a
real tough situation to look at right now, and I think part of fandom is getting caught in the moment. They just played poorly against the Falcons. Now we have all these injuries. The sky is falling. This is what's happening. But as an organization, the way the Redskins are looking at it is that they have weeks where they can get these guys up to speed before you have your division games. And hopefully everyone can use these next two and a half weeks before Dallas to get on the same page and be ready to go.
Well, and you'll hear him say it. Capri Bibbs explains that this team is built to grind. They're going to have to do that in a serious way to get some wins over the at least until Trent comes back. And then if Trent can come back healthy, maybe you talk about can Ty move inside or what. But Mitch said, you know, this is a tough situation to look at. Before we go to Gruden, I want to provide a moment of levity for the good people listening to this thing who are probably pretty upset right now. You want to know a tough thing to look at? Mitch is currently wearing a plaid flannel shirt with plaid flannel shorts, neither of which plaids or flannels match. So you got a lot going on here, big man.
It was a rough morning.
What'd you get into last night?
I was expecting a real good football game, exciting football game.
So you got all tuned up for it?
We drank a little bourbon. We were watching, actually, some scotch.
Who was we? I was with you till like 7:30.
I had a couple of my buddies meet me at home.
Oh, my God.
When I got there.
You looked like you had a night.
I had a night. And you know what? I thought this podcast is audio only. Audio only.
All right. Hopefully that cheered you up. Good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. You should ride with them. Legitimately, I ride with them. I went and bought a car from Bob Biagi at Oarsman. Chevy Buick GMC of Alexandria. They took great care of me.
You paid in beer.
I paid in beer and other financial instruments. Dude, you know what was great is they took care, like, I had my daughter with me, and they couldn't have been nicer. They must have given Shelby 25 balloons over the course of the time we were at the dealership.
I thought you were going to say lollipops, and then she was going to be all jacked
no,
up.
No, they gave her markers. By the time we left that car dealership, she had marker all over her face.
But I think that's better than the sugar option, right?
She had fun, though. They took great care of us. They took great care of my family. You know, my wife's expecting. I got her riding in a nice, good, safe car now rather than her 2004 Jetta. So we're in business, man. So go check them out. They're good people. Tell them I told you that. All right, on with the show. Here comes Jay Gruden, who I got to say, I was impressed that he wasn't downtrodden.
You told him that in the interview.
I think it was fair to say.
It was. I think you have to divorce yourself from the fan perspective and realize this is a guy who has a job.
Right.
And his job just got significantly harder today.
Well, and I think fans have to realize that I have a job to ask him shitty questions and to try to make it. Because, I mean, you can go in there. There's a big difference between a press conference and a one-on-one interview when you're sitting next to somebody, you're sitting next to one another, and you got to make it a conversation.
Yeah,
it's not just five different dudes holding up their hands and asking questions.
And JP gave me a hard time about the plaid only because Jay gave JP a hard time because he wears plaid every single Monday.
That is not true. He doesn't care about the plaid. It's just that the plaid looks bad on TV. We're going too long. Here comes Gruden. Day after a tough loss to the Atlanta Falcons, Jay Gruden, the bad news is starting to pile up again for this Redskins team. Brandon Scherff, Sean LaVau, and Paul Richardson all out for the year. These are all day one starters for your offense. How do you move forward with that unit?
Well, we'll have to figure out a way. And Trent's going to miss some more time, and Chris Thompson's going to miss some more time. So, you know, you're talking about five pretty good players, two Pro Bowlers with Trent and Brandon. So, feel terrible for Brandon. He was really one of the heartbeats of our football team, offensive line, toughness. But we have to move forward. You know, have to bring some people in here, give them a look, get them ready to play on Sunday.
So, I mean, you're talking about bringing new guys in, trying out veterans that are available right now in week 10 of the NFL. Some of them are probably going to have to play, maybe even start right away.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. You know, we finished the game with Ty and Seki at left guard and obviously Christian at left tackle. But if we want to keep Ty at left tackle and obviously Morgan at right tackle, if Morgan's okay, then we have to bring somebody in to play right guard, somebody with some experience preferably.
How difficult is this for you? I mean, the O-line injuries in 2017 seemed like they were once a decade, the way it all kind of stacked up. And here we are, week 10, and it's kind of the same thing, if not worse, by losing Trent and Brandon at the same time. What do you say to the rest of that offense? Like, guys, we can still figure this out.
Yeah, we have to, and we will. I think we still have some good players on offense. We still have a great tight end group. I think Adrian is still going to run hard. Quarterback's getting better and better every week. Josh Doxon's made some plays, had a couple unfortunate drops yesterday, but he's starting to make some plays, gained some more confidence. Maurice Harris had some good plays, so we're not weaponless. We just lost a few really good ones.
Well, let me dig in a little bit then, because you mentioned him. He had his best statistical performance of the season, but are you getting enough from Alex Smith at this point?
Well, yesterday was a different day. The penalties were absolutely ridiculous. You know, they killed at least three drives. We had a key drop on third down. It killed another drive. There's four drives in a football game against a high-powered offense like Atlanta that you can't just lose because of self-inflicted wounds. And that's something we have to guard against. We're not good enough to overcome that. So didn't give our offense a chance, but I think for the most part he made some good plays, kept us in the game, some situations, some really good throws, had a couple good runs, but we do have to do better.
Last night after the game you said you wanted to watch the film on some of those penalties. I imagine you've watched that now. Some of them seemed egregious to me, particularly the personal foul on the play Sheriff got hurt or the Dotson taunt on the sideline. Did anything stand out to you in hindsight?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Dotson taunt, I don't think it's a penalty. I mean, people spin the ball all the time, and he didn't do it at anybody or at anybody on the bench. He just spun the ball. But they called it. We can't give the officials an opportunity to make that call. We just have to get back to the huddle and come play ball. Some of the holding calls could have gone either way, but, you know, we just got to be careful on some of the finishing blocks of keeping our hands down and taking people to the ground. So it's a great learning experience for our guys, something we just got to do better preventing.
I got to say this, just on a personal level, I'm impressed. Maybe it's just because the cameras are on, but you staying positive today has to rub off on your team in some capacity. And I think that's remarkable considering the news you've been dealt today. What I found strange yesterday watching the Falcons-Redskins game is that the defense has been your strength so far this year. And even in the run game, it seemed like it was a different unit. What did Atlanta do to kind of neutralize the big horses up front for you guys?
They blocked very well, and they executed, and they made some people miss. It was uncharacteristic. You know, we had some play from certain groups of guys that usually play better. You know, last week against the Giants, they played unbelievable, and this week, just some things we were flawed in, and just our reaction and some of our tenacity just wasn't quite the same for whatever reason. Something we have to get fixed and challenge the defense today. They have to lead this football team, you know, in a time of crisis right now. Offensively, we'll figure out ways to try to get, you know, some points on the board for sure, but our defense has to be our Achilles heel. We have to lean on them, and they have to play great on every snap.
And you think they're ready for that challenge?
I do. I think we have the right people in here. I think defensive line, we're in good shape. Outside backers, we're in good shape. Mason and Zach got to play better. Secondary is going to gel and play better. We had to, you know, with Dunbar coming in and out of the game, and Stroman was a little hurt. Danny Johnson had to play a little bit more than we anticipated. But we do have to step up, and I think they can.
Danny made a nice open field tackle, too. I told him that in the locker room afterwards. It was pretty impressive.
He did.
Yeah. Last one. You've been gracious with your time. Do you feel snake bit at all?
Snake bit?
It's 2 years in a row with this stuff.
Yeah, I know. I think if you look around the league, teams are go through the same thing. You know, it's just when you have two legitimate Pro Bowl players on your offense and both of them are hurt, that
your offensive line.
That hurts. That hurts. But, you know, it's just something that you have to overcome. And that's something we talked about all offseason, adversity. We have to overcome adversity. And again, yesterday, we didn't do it yesterday. We got down in a hole, a couple scores, and we failed to overcome it. And that's something that this team, this organization, we have to do better at. And we have to overcome it. We will, in my opinion.
Jay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Smith pumps, going down the middle for Mo Harris. One-handed catch at the 40-yard line. Tuck it right in that right hand. Beautiful catch by Mo Harris. That's a big play the Redskins needed.
Redskins receiver Mo Harris had a career day today. You were able to get a lot of catches, a lot of yards. Comes in a tough defeat. How are you and the Redskins feeling after that game?
It was a tough loss, obviously, but, you know, we did some things pretty good. We did some things not so good. So we just got to correct the mistakes and move on.
For you personally, do you feel like maybe a connection is really starting to develop with Alex Smith?
I guess so. Yeah, we got to continue to just improve each week and make plays. You know, they put us out there to make plays, so we got to continue to do that and whatever we can do to help the team win.
You've been in this system for a few years now, and throwing the ball has never really been a problem. This year, it just seems like it's not clicking. What's going on in the pass game?
I'm not really sure. We just got to keep working, you know, keep going over the little details every week in practice, and it'll all come together for us, I'm sure. And we're just going to keep working every day and just continue to improve each and every practice and translate it to the game.
After a tough loss like that, what does Jay Gruden say to you in the locker room?
It's just a tough loss. There's some things that we could have did better, but we have to move on to next week. We'll correct it, move on next week, and, you know, play a better game next week.
And I'll say this, you guys had a really bad loss in New Orleans and came back out and ran three off in a row. Does it feel similar to that Saints loss at all?
I mean, yeah, every loss, you know, it feels tough, but our goal is to come out and win. But like you said, we just got to put it away and move on.
I have been a fan of yours loudly for a long time. You know that. You had a great game. Hopefully you're able to enjoy that a little bit today.
Yeah, hopefully so. But, you know, a win would have definitely been better.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Mo.
Yep, no problem.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Alex Smith from the shotgun. Hands it off Capri Pitts. Sweeping the left side. He's in! For a Redskins touchdown! Redskins score with 2:15 to go in the third. First touchdown in the third quarter all season, and it's right on time.
Capri Bibbs joining us. You got in the end zone today. That's the good news. Not much more than that. What's it feel like after a big defeat like that?
Obviously, you want to go out there and you want to handle business and get the W. That's obviously the most important. Touchdowns really don't mean anything to me. Scored plenty of those. I want our team to go out there and execute the best way we possibly can. And today we fell short of that. You know, I feel like we got into a few bad predicaments with penalties and things along that nature. So we just got to clean that up in order to improve.
150 yards in penalties. How frustrating is that for you?
It's very frustrating, especially, you know, you think about the calls that we did have today. And you look up at the Jumbotron. And you see a guy trying to make a swim move, and he gets caught underneath the pad, and he gets dumped down. And then the refs throw a flag on the guy that made the better play, and that type of stuff, you know, will get guys out of character. You know, like you see Big Mo and Jordan Reed and guys, myself, you know, talk to these refs because, you know, we work hard every single week. We got our game plan wrapped tight. You know, we make sure we're on our P's and Q's coming every single game, not to let stuff like that come into play. But we got to do a better job of just staying out of those little nicky-nack situations and just stay clean.
What do the refs say when you try to talk to them about, like, I think about the play where Scherf got hurt, and then Jordan got a penalty on that.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, you're going to call nicky-nack stuff, and then, you know, you blow the whistle, and then you watch another guy slam another guy down to the ground, but you don't call that nicky-nack.
Right.
You know, so we just want the game to be called clean, and we want to be able to just go out there and put our best foot forward, knowing that we're going to get, you know, the guys giving their best effort as well, talking about the Zebras. So we just want a clean game. We want to go out there and fight as hard as we can, knowing that nothing else is going to hold us back. Only thing that can is the other team and ourselves. And if it goes beyond that, then we have a problem, you know, and that's what we almost felt like it was today.
Well, talking about problems, that the offensive line today, just so many injuries. What's it like trying to get into your offense, get back into this game when you're running behind guys that are playing wildly different positions?
These guys, Coach Callahan, he conditions these guys like no other. I don't think I've ever seen an offensive line group work harder than these guys. And you can see it in their eyes when they stepped into the game that they weren't fazed by the situation and knew that this situation might come up. They knew that. And knew every single possibility, and you can see the way they switched positions mid-game you know, you start asking yourself, like, oh, these guys have done this before. And they went out there and did a good job. I think we let up one or two sacks, even with those guys coming into the game, Jaron and Ty Nasecki, all these guys are fantastic linemen. And I think that's what makes a team better is when you can dig deep into your depth and get great production out of them. I think they gave us great production, like I said, but we just got to find a way to stay on the field on third downs and stay away from the nicky-knack stuff, and we'll be fine.
Bad loss in New Orleans. This team responded after that three-game win streak. Bad loss today against the Saints. Can you guys respond again?
We always will respond. A lot of teams are built for speed. A lot of teams built for power. You know, a lot of teams built for a lot of things. We're built to grind. You know, we were willing to get through all hard times. We got a great locker room. We got a great group of guys right now that just know how to get through hard times and just know how to put that extra foot forward. And we got great leaders in there too as well. So I think responding is going to be the least of our worries because we got some real warriors in our locker room. So I think our response is going to be great. I think we get on another streak again.
Thank you.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.